was going potty. Oh, thank you. Hello, hello, hello. Why don't you stand up, greet two or three people, tell them you love them. Tell them hi.
I'm telling on your grandkid.
Are you?
Because he don't say hi to me.
Oh. One more time real quick. Praise you. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I thank you for your word, Father God. Father, that you lead us, you guide us into all truth. Father, as we go into your word today, I ask that our hearts would be open, Father God. Give us spiritual eyes to see, Father, that we wouldn't be just hearers of the word, but we would be doers of your word as well. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, church, whether we like it or not, every single one of us is in war. Did you know that? We didn't enlist. You probably were like, I didn't enlist. War is over, right? And you didn't vote for it. But the moment that we said yes to Jesus Christ, we signed up and we stepped into a battlefield. And there is no such thing as neutral Christians. I think sometimes people think, if I don't bother the devil, he won't bother me. Well, I want you to know, there are two kinds of believers. There's either armed believers, or there's unarmed. And I want to be an armed believer. Amen? Paul didn't say, if the battle would come. Paul said, when it comes, he told us how to stand. Let's go to Ephesians 6. 2 weeks ago, I know that I started kind of in the middle of this whole, it goes from actually 10 to about 20. But I really wanted to highlight on some things so I could go back to the beginning. Do you ever start in the middle of a book and go back to the beginning? I've done it several times. Well, Ephesians 6:10 says this, finally, my brethren. How many of you here are brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are, amen? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word strong in the Greek is ichkeres. It means powerful or mighty. So it says, be powerful and mighty in the Lord. That's what this is saying. Be powerful and mighty in the Lord. It didn't say that we have to be powerful and mighty in ourselves. In fact, it didn't say to be powerful or mighty in ourselves. It told us to be powerful and mighty in the Lord. And in the power, that dunamis, that explosive power of his might. That word might means inherent force. So if we look at this one scripture, really it says to us, be powerful and mighty in the Lord and in the explosive power of his inherent force. Are you hearing this? That's how we are to be. You know, my dad, he was the Mickey Mouse. He could fabricate anything if it came to metal. He was amazing with it. And one time he built and it was this. It was a wood splitter, and it was hydraulic. And it had a table, a metal table. The whole thing was made of metal. And it, then it had a blade at the top. And when you pushed the pedal, the table would raise, and it would cut a round of wood. It was amazing. But as amazing as it looked, if it did not get plugged in, it was useless. And that's the same thing with us. Many of us look equipped, but we're unplugged. We're not connected to the source, knowing He is the one. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm preaching better than you guys are hearing. You know, Jesus gave every single one of us, as believers, authority and power. Go with me to Luke 10:19. So, first off, I want to start here. I don't want to give the devil too much power. But if we don't talk about spiritual things like they don't exist, it doesn't mean they don't exist. It just means we're ignorant. Okay? And I do never want us to be ignorant of the way that the devil operates. Okay? However, let's go to Luke 10:19. Well, let's go to 18, sorry. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. That word authority is exousia. It actually means to be able to have authority. It's the right to act. And He gives us exousia over the power of the enemy. Every single one of us. Here in this passage, He was giving it to the apostles. But He gave it to us as well. Amen? Amen. You know, when you think of a policeman, I like to speed, and I have to set my cruise control. And I know I shouldn't, but my foot just keeps going harder and harder and harder on that accelerator. And pretty soon it's like, I have to lift my foot up. But when I see those little blue lights in my rearview mirror, and I know that that police officer has exousia, he has the authority to pull me over. And if I don't stop, he has the power to stop me. It was given to him. Amen? It's the same thing with us. Coming against the powers of darkness. It's coming against evil forces that come against us. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 28:18. I just want to show you that authority and power has been given to all of us in Jesus' name. Go to Matthew 28:18. Oh, wait, I'm going too far. I got to go back, not forward. Jesus says this, all, everybody say all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, go therefore. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. Every single bit of it. Okay? You see that? Now let's go to Mark. Go to Mark 16. I'm putting this all together for us. I'm putting pieces together. Mark 16. Mark 16 and start at verse Let's start at verse 15. And he said to them, this is after Jesus has ascended. He already went to hell and then he ascended. And now he comes to his disciples and this is what he says to them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news to every single creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, say these signs. Say these signs. Do you think it's just one or two, or do you think it's these? These is all. Amen? And these signs will follow those who believe. Are you a believer? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Why? Because he's given us authority and power in his name. Amen?
Amen.
They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. There it is, praying in our prayer language. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. This doesn't mean we sit around playing with rattlesnakes and drinking arsenic, right? But if we accidentally, we can be healed in the name of Jesus. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Okay? This is what Jesus told the disciples that as believers, we are to do. We have the authority to do it in his name. He has given us the authority. He's given us the exousia, like that badge on the sheriff. And he's given us the power, that dunamis, like the gun. Amen? But it's in his name. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. We're not done. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming, say confirming, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. They went out and did absolutely what the Lord Jesus commanded them to do. As believers in Jesus Christ, every single one of us have been given this same commission. You have been given the badge. You have been given the weapon, the pistol, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, that is who he's called us to be in him. That is what he's called us to do in him. I think too many times people go around wondering what their gifts and callings are. Right there. There's your calling right there. As believers, that's our calling. Amen? Go with me now back to Ephesians. Let's keep going. Be strong in the Lord and in the power, that dunamis of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. One time I heard somebody reading this out loud, and they said, stand against the willies. And sometimes it does feel like willies, amen? But wiles actually means methodical. It's calculated schemes. I want to speak to every single parent in this place, every single grandparent. Satan doesn't wait until your kids turn 18. Yeah, I only have 4 more hours and 3 minutes and they turn 18. No, that's not how the devil works. He's calculated. He's scheming. And the thing he wants is your kids. Most adults have problems that go into their adulthood that stem from their childhood. As absolute parents, as grandparents, we need to not just be bringing our kids to church. I'm going to tell you, that is absolutely the beginning. And it's very, very important that we come together as a body of Christ. Amen? But as parents and grandparents, we need to be teaching our kids, the Word of God. They need to be hearing it spoken in their homes. They need to be not just praying when it's dinner time. We need to be teaching our kids how to pray. We need to be teaching our kids how to use the Word of God against the schemes and the strategies that Satan comes against us with. They need to understand the importance of worship. You need to be worshiping in your house, making your home a place of worship, so that they don't just come here on Sunday morning hearing some songs, but they have an atmosphere of worship in their home where they understand what that is. Satan is after your kids, guys. They are after us as adults, but they're after them. Because if Satan can get them when they're little, he's got them when they're old. And I'm not just talking about their souls. I'm talking about hurts. I'm talking about when the pressures come in, how to stand against all the schemes, all the tricks that the devil would throw at us. Amen? You know, Satan absolutely and his cohorts, it's not like Satan's everywhere. He has little cohorts. Satan's not God. He's not omnipresent. But these demons understand our weaknesses. Do you know what your weakness is? Do you know some of your weaknesses? One of my weaknesses, absolutely, is if I get tired and I get run down, I can start becoming very critical in my heart. I become very judgmental, and I know that. And I don't mean to be, but I'm human. But that does not excuse. I understand that it's when I am at my vulnerable areas that is where Satan is going to come and strike. And we have to understand what our vulnerabilities are. We need to see where our weaknesses are so that we can be prepared and that we can understand how we need to stand in that area. Amen? You know, I love watching those Alaskan shows. I love it. And it just intrigues me how they watch these little rabbits run through this little hole, and they know that's exactly where to put a snare to trap it. It's cool, right? Well, I want you to know, Satan does the same thing with us. He knows those little rabbit holes. He knows. He understands. And it's there to trip us up and trap us. Amen? So, he waits until we become fatigued. We isolate. We might be around a whole bunch of people, but we isolate up here. It's an absolute trap that Satan's going to get. So we need to be on guard to those things. Amen? Amen? So, put on the whole armor of God. That you may be, where am I? Put on the whole armor of God. So you'll be able to stand against the willies of the devil. Amen? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Too many times we sound like Adam. We want to blame God and our spouse for what we did. Right? Adam ate the fruit, but when God came to him, he said, God, it was a woman you gave me, and she gave it to me, and then I ate. But our spouses aren't the problem. Amen? If your spouse just changes, it's not going to solve all your problems. Your boss isn't your enemy. They might not do a great job, but that doesn't mean that they're an enemy. What about the difficult person in our life? Oh my gosh, Lord. Oh, do you understand how difficult this person is to me? And a lot of times we have a lot of family members like that, right? I heard, People might be a tool, but they're not our target. Behind the visible conflict that we are going through is an invisible commander. And that's last week what I went through, or 2 weeks ago. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those are those high-ranking rulers. Against powers. That's underneath principalities. That's delegated authority. Principalities are generally over continents, countries. Powers are under that, where you have maybe nations, cities, rulers of darkness, controlling systems, things like churches, city governments. Those are the three that are in the heavenlies: principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness. And then it talks about spiritual hosts of wickedness. These are organized ground troops. These are the ones that we are coming against. It's not that we don't come against the others. They have an influence. Satan is very militant, and he's very strategic in how he's doing things. But I want you guys to hear this. Every rank of the demonic realm has got to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Go with me to Colossians 2:15. Is this making sense? 2:15. Jesus Christ, having disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus has already won the battle. Amen? He has triumphed. In Revelation, it talks about Jesus going and taking the keys back of death and Hades. Keys represents power, authority. Jesus made a public spectacle of the demonic realm, and he took back the keys of death and Hades. Amen? So what's that saying? He has triumphed over every principality and power. And he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords over everything. And he has given us that authority and that power to stand in it because we are in him. Amen? Amen. Okay, go back to Ephesians. Okay. Then it says, take up the whole armor of God. Say the whole armor. Say the whole armor. It's not a piece. There are several pieces. Could you imagine going into war? I think of my son-in-law who was in war. And they get all fitted in and all suited up. And I can't imagine him just going into war with just his helmet. Right? No. They suit up. We don't need to be picking and choosing. Oh, I don't like that one. Right? We need to be putting on the whole armor of God. Every day, every minute of every day. It is that important to who we are in this world, to ourselves, and to the people around us. Amen? Amen. So, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, My goodness gracious, there's a lot of standing going on. Amen. Paul says the word stand 3 times. In Hebrew, you don't need to remember this, but you do need to remember part of it. Hebrew is an emphatic semantic triplet. This is what it does. It signifies extreme importance, making a concept foundational and utterly important. He says stand 3 times. It is utterly important that we understand that we need to stand. Amen? The word stand means to oppose. Hold your ground. Refuse to retreat. Dig in your heels. Have you, one of the things about this portion of scripture in Ephesians, they believe that Paul actually was in home arrest at the time and that he was chained to a Roman soldier. And so this is where they get the armor of God, okay, is by looking at a Roman soldier. One of the things about the Roman military, they were absolutely a mighty, mighty military force. In fact, at that time, they had taken over about, and all those history buffs can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was about 1/4 of the known world, okay? But one of the things that they did was that they held formation is one of the ways that they were extremely effective. They held their positions, and that's what we need to do. Some of us don't need a new strategy. We need to quit backing up, sitting down when we're in the fight. Amen? Too many times, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just going through. We need to be standing. And when we've done all the stand. Amen? So then it goes on to say this. Stand therefore. You guys, we need to stand. Stand therefore, and I'm just going to go through one of the rest of the parts of the armor of God, and I'm going to do truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You know, one of the things about the Romans' belt, it held everything together. Okay. Their sword was on it. The breastplate that they wore rested on their belt. Without the belt, the soldier was disorganized and vulnerable. Truth. Truth. What do you believe? You know, one of the things is that we can get off if we don't know what the Word of God says. And we don't walk in the truth of what the Word says. I want you to go with me to Ephesians. Just go back a few pages. Go with me to Ephesians 1. And we're going to read kind of quite a bit of a portion of Scripture here. But this is Paul praying. And listen to what he's praying for. And I really want to encourage you to pray this prayer over yourself. Pray this over yourself. This is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Therefore, I also, after I had heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters, for our community. Amen? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We need to know who Jesus is. He is a good God. He's not going around killing people. Amen? He is a good God. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know that this is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Do you know that we are His inheritance? We are His inheritance. Think of that, church. Sometimes we don't feel like we amount to much. But the thing is Jesus Christ came and died for you. And you are His inheritance. That says a lot. Amen? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. There's that word power again. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. We need to know who we are in Him. We need to know truth about what Christ came to do, what He did. It says, by His stripes we were healed. He wasn't beat for no good reason. He received 39 lashes, one from a death sentence, for our healing. Amen? And that is part of what He has given to us. We need to know who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. We need to know truth. We need to know the goodness of God. That He's not out killing people. That the church won't fall down if somebody comes in who's a sinner. My goodness gracious, I walk in that door. I'm not a sinner. I do sin. But when I walk in that door, the walls are still up. Amen? Amen. We need to know truth. We need to know truth of who He is and what He's came to do. The next is, we need to know the truth means not just what we believe, but how we live. Truth means integrity. When you come to us, I've always heard this, and it really makes sense. What do you do when people aren't looking? When you come to a stop sign, do you slow down and keep going? Or do you stop? Look both ways. I got to tell you, that's really hard. Yeah. I'm not lying here. I'm going to tell you straight up, it's hard. Have you ever tried to run with loose clothing? You trip over what should be covering you. When truth is loose in our lives, we stumble over compromises. We start compromising. Amen? We make excuses for what we do. We give half-truths, not the truth. The word says Satan is a father of not a lie, but of all lies. If he can get you to question truth, everything else loosens. There's so many lies that the devil wants to tell us. One of them is, God really didn't mean what He said. Amen? You're the exception. Truth keeps us grounded and it keeps us stable. Amen? We really need to understand what the belt of truth is in our lives. Amen? Amen. Next week we're going to get into the rest of the armor of God. But I really want you guys to take this word. Don't just be hearers and, oh, yeah, that was good, and we go out the door and we forget what was even said. But take it. Chew it up. Meditate on it. Speak it out. How can I take just a piece of it and apply it to my life? Amen? Amen. Let's go before the Father. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for every good thing. I thank you for who you are in our life and what you came to do. Father God, we know we're not perfect, but we know that we can absolutely come before you and confess our sins to you, and that you are able, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I thank you that you love us, that you sent your Son so we can have a relationship with you. And as we go out these doors today, Father God, I just would ask that we would remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ and what you have called us to do as individuals, as a body of Christ going forward in our families, in our own lives, in our families, and in this community. And Father, we give you the honor, we give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We love you, and you are dismissed.